It's time to let the light in, let the light in. What's so weird?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin in Cherche, France. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our hosts, Kevin and Cher from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On.
Turn the Light On.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going, Cher?
It's going good. How are you doing?
Doing really good, man.
Still really busy?
Hanging out. Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, do you set...
Run.
Do you set New Year's resolutions? Like,
you even try? I had a New Year's resolution this year.
Had?
Yeah, I already blew it. You know, it's like, going to get in shape, you know. And then my wife looked at me and she said, round's a shape. And I was like, all right, if you're good, I'm good.
Oh, Lisa. Oh, my gosh. That's funny. That's funny.
True story.
No, I don't believe you.
Yeah, true story. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
she's like, you don't have to worry about
she's
it.
She's like, round's a shape.
I love you just the way
you
are.
Exactly. You know,
it goes both ways, you know?
Yeah, it does. So,
I did decide, like, I wouldn't call it a New Year's resolution, but I did decide that I am going to take more time to spend with close friends.
Yeah, that's
you just
good.
Get busy. And most of my, my closest friends don't even live in the state, which
right.
makes it even harder, you know?
It is.
So you only see them once or twice a year. It's like, eh.
Sure.
I've made a pack. I'm like, I don't know if I have to set money aside and save for plane tickets or whatever. I'm going to make a shift here to just spend
that's
more
good.
Time with quality friends. So you can make those kind of New Year's resolutions, you know?
Yeah, that is. That's really good stuff. But, you know, we've been talking about the series of the miracles of Jesus. And
our last one was pretty
was
heavy
crazy.
Duty. It was good, though, but it was heavy duty.
Yeah, we were talking about the transfiguration of Jesus yesterday. You should go back and check it if you didn't get to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
See if it's available on the
on demand. I know that's a
little sketchy sometimes, but it may be out there. You
just
never know.
Try it.
Go look.
Have faith. Because that's what this is about, faith.
Yeah,
see
for
how
sure.
I transitioned us into that? No, but this is miracle 29, right?
Wow, yeah.
At least according to our,
recollections.
Right, how
or
we're
our researches.
Researching is the word I was looking
yeah.
for. So this is about the story about Jesus casting the demon out of the lunatic boy, or it was the boy that was demon-possessed.
Poor little guy, man, got labeled a lunatic.
That's one of the
happens,
labels
though,
that they
right?
use.
It's in Mark 9.
But right, Mark 9,
yeah.
And I think I'm up for reading this. It's
sure,
a little bit longer,
yeah,
but I think
ahead.
We can do it.
You got skills.
I'm a little more awake now. I'm a little more awake.
Right.
So Mark 9:14-29, it says, when they came to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and experts in the law arguing with them. So that's like the Pharisees, right?
Yep.
When the whole crowd saw him, they were amazed and ran at once and greeted him. He asked them, what are you arguing about with them? A member of the crowd said to him, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that makes him mute. Whenever it seizes him, so it makes him have convulsions, it throws him down and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they were not able to do so. He answered, this is Jesus,
yeah.
You unbelieving generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I endure you? Bring him to me. So they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell on the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, so he's asking God,
sure.
Father, how long for this not God. He's not asking
no,
God.
He's asking the kid's father.
The kid's father,
right?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
How long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to destroy him. But if you would, if you are able to do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And then Jesus said to him, if you are able, and all things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the father of the boy cried out and said, I believe, you know, help my unbelief. Now, when Jesus saw that a crowd was quickly forming and gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. It shrieked, it threw him into terrible convulsions, and then it came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said that he was dead.
Wow.
I mean, this is crazy. But Jesus gently took him by the hand, raised him to his feet, and he stood up. Then after he went into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we cast that out?" And Jesus told them, "This kind can only come out by prayer." And we also know other manuscripts say by prayer and fasting.
Fasting, right.
Woo! Man. I think it would be good. Why don't you read that the last part of Matthew's version of that?
Sure.
Because it's a little bit different, and
yeah,
I like it
too. Yeah, it is a little bit. In Matthew, I think we're at verse 20.
Right.
He says this, he replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Mm-hmm. You see, the main idea revolves around the faith of every person that's involved in this miracle.
It's all faith-based. It's
happening in all this whole circle of people.
Except for Jesus.
Except for Jesus. He's right. He's good. He's like, yeah, all right, well, I'll have a lesson here. On faith,
yeah,
and unbelief,
right? So you know, we mentioned yesterday's the confession of Peter has happened. The transfiguration has just occurred.
Sure.
So you know, I lost my place. But how many have heard about the mountaintop experience? So this is where it's kind of, you know, followed by the valley of defeat. So what is wrong with this? It's two different groups of disciples.
It's like they just saw Jesus transfigured, and now we're like, all right, guys, here we go, man.
It's literally from the valley, from the mountaintop to the valley, and now we're at the other end of the spectrum, you know. So
people are calling you out. You can't even cast a demon out of my kid.
Like, meanwhile, back at the ranch, you know, everybody's
5 miles to get here with him.
Well, yeah, it's just like they're having this glory moment on the mountain of just seeing all this amazing things, and meanwhile, right around the corner, these other disciples, they can't cast. You know, it's just life. I mean, they can't cast out. It doesn't have to be life, but it's their unbelief and the faith, and maybe they. I don't know how often did they pray for people. We don't know.
Right.
Was this the first time they tried to do it on their own? You know, did they work up the courage and Jesus wasn't there, so they were trying to help the boy?
We haven't seen the disciples do a lot of ministry yet.
Right, so maybe this was the first time that they tried to do it without Jesus being there. Maybe Jesus was always there when they did it, and it always worked out great.
Sure.
Jesus was there.
Looking over their shoulder, they can't see me like doing the look over the shoulder thing. Like, hi, Jesus, yes, you're going to make this happen.
Right.
You got us, right? You got our back.
But it's this transfiguration is the confirmation of the faith of this like inner core of disciples who have struggled with the concept that he has to die, and he gives them a taste of what's coming with this glory to bolster their faith. And now you've got the other side of the disciples dealing with the fact that their faith is being tested and that it's not working out the way that they thought. So,
they're finding doubt and unbelief and problems.
Is it pendulum?
In their
is that what that's called? Or a pendulum? How do you pronounce it?
Pendulum.
A pendulum, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like swinging from like one end to the other. So now we're in a completely different, you know, want here.
Sure.
But they're going to learn. We're all going to learn, you know?
Well, I mean, let's look at a few different faith angles from this circle people that are there, Cher. You know, you've got, you know, the scribes, you know, they're all there. These guys are all arguing, you know, the disciples and the scribes, they're fighting, you know. So, but when Jesus shows up, the crowd leaves and runs to see him.
Right. You know, they didn't like that.
This didn't settle well with the Pharisees. Look at me.
Right. Listen to me. I know the laws. I know what the you know, script says, and literally Jesus standing in front of them, you know.
Right.
It's a total miss.
Everything that they were trying to foretell was standing in front of them, and they're missing it.
Right. Jesus is standing there, and everybody's like, oh, look, Jesus is here. And you can imagine they just probably left them standing there and ran over to where Jesus was. So, you know, that didn't go well. But that's that. They were faithless. This is a part of that faith. They were the faithless. They couldn't even get it. We're on Miracle 29.
Sure.
They've seen it. They've been following him around just – you know, conjuring up all their lies to get him killed.
Well, I mean, they're all coming down off the mountain, and Jesus had just been transfigured, and I wonder maybe if he was glowing, you know, maybe if there was something about him that drew everybody to them. Because if we recall Moses, when he was on the mountain with the Lord, you know, and he was saw the transfiguration moment that way. His face, when he saw God.
No, it says that. It says that Jesus was glowing in Mark. I think it's somewhere in Mark, but they do mention that. So that must have been a whole nother, you know, it was like this beacon of light. I imagine like coming down the hill.
And, yeah, what do you look like after you've been transfigured?
And still, the scribes and the Pharisees couldn't believe, and now it's mind-boggling. But
it is.
You know, another part of this faithless or this faith part of having doubt maybe is a better word because the father had enough belief to believe that there could be a hope that his son could get healed because clearly he's been hearing about miracles. So he's brought his son for help. He's desperate. So there is some faith there.
Right.
And we know that you can have faith and unbelief at the same time.
Sure.
I hope that you guys know that.
Right,
we
should
know
possible, for
so
sure.
So you've got this agonizing father, the hopelessness
he's
of his
in a
son.
Battle, man. This guy's struggling.
The demons were really damaging his son. It said they were throwing him in the fire. I mean, I can't even.
It means he probably had burn marks and scars, and they tried to drown him.
I mean, that is literally taking over his body. You know, we know that there's convulsions or some type of seizing, but when it's heaving him into a fire or heaving him into the water, it's trying to.
It's a whole other level of demonic activity.
This is poltergeist stuff, you know.
Right,
it's like
right.
moving this kid into these bad situations.
Sure.
So you've got this hopelessness of the son, and then another area is the helplessness of the disciples. I am sure that was so discouraging that they're like, okay, guys, let's go.
We got this, man. Jesus sent us out.
He's up on the mountain. I don't know what they're taking so long. You know, I don't know what they're doing up there, but we're down here doing the work. You know, and totally improvising here, but we're just trying to picture what it was like. And then nothing happened.
Denied.
Nothing happened.
Oh, something happened. They got denied.
And so now Jesus comes on the scene, and there's just all this confusion. You've got the scribes and the Pharisees, and you've got the father that's hopeless, and now he's not seen. It didn't happen for his son. How hard the disciples Jesus is just glowing. Talk about a buzzkill.
Right.
It's just not a great term, but he's up on the mountain and he's glowing and he walks into this, stuff going on, But so we've got this other side, the conviction of this unbelief, and what the response was to it. He convicts the disciples and others for their lack of faith.
Yeah, that's got to be a real downer to get shut down like that. You know, he refers to the fact that he's going to have to leave, and what are they going to do when he's no longer with them? And if they don't have faith, then they're going to be helpless. So there's a thing that Jesus is trying to get through to them because he knows his time is limited with them at this point.
At first I was like, oh, he was mad. But I don't think it was that type of anger. It was more of like, I've been on this journey with you this entire time, and now God has revealed has revealed my glory on the mountaintop, and I'm walking into this like I'm not going to be with you. And I thought that I've taught you well enough that you would know this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was hard for Jesus to hear. He's like, what are you going to do if I'm not here?
Right.
I'm sure he was just like, what other miracle do I, we're going to see the rest, but.
Exactly. Well, then he makes a request, and he says, all right, bring me your son.
I know. He gets a little bit like, and then he's like,
bring him
over here.
Back to the task here.
Right.
You got to set people free.
Right.
I'm Jesus. Right. That's what I do. I set people free. So.
Right. And then there's.
We're going to set them free.
Exactly. And then there's this confrontation of faith that starts to happen. So.
Oh, yeah.
You see this demonstration of demonic power, which is important for people to understand. And this,
in other words, the demon's pitching a fit.
Yeah, he knows his time is up. It says it says it sees Jesus and throws the boy on the ground. He's like, no, almost like, this is my boy. I'm going to kill him. This is my task. No. Throws the boy on the ground and the boy convulses. And then, even when Jesus, prays for him, he threw the boy on the ground again to the point where they thought he was dead. So that demon was really trying to kill this boy and knew his time was up.
He was dug in deep.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, then there's the demonstration of divine power.
Which is the best part, right.
You know, I mean, the Father comes to Jesus and he says, if you can, do you think Jesus is aggravated when he sees this? I mean, or does he have a compassionate answer? I think it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, but his response is, if I can, my ability isn't the problem. Your faith is the problem.
Ouch. That's But this is such a good example of understanding, you know, so much of the power of unbelief and faith and the difference in the two and what it can do. I do believe that what is happening with the Father that should have happened with the – I'm sorry. I do believe the Father's like changing course. I do believe. But what's happening is that they should have done the same thing with the disciples. The Father asked. The disciples never asked.
Right.
They just tried to do it and was like, rah, 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 you know, at least this is how they tell the story that the Father at least asked. He was like, oh my gosh, help me get rid of my unbelief. And maybe they did in privacy and it wasn't recorded.
Unbelief, you know?
Yeah, help my unbelief.
But I think we got to always lean back on, you know, in our lives as well on that scripture. All things are possible to him or her who believes. You know, and that's just where we're at. You know, he's trying to get them to simple faith.
Right. You know, it's this correction of faith, too. You know, why were they unable? Jesus is trying to teach them another key thing that was so important is because they had unbelief. We're trying to drill this in and it is that, you know, Jesus was like, it has nothing to do with me if I'm able. He wasn't saying, like, if I'm able, like, how dare you say if I'm able. He was saying, if I'm able, this is nothing to do with me. Jesus is like, this has to do with your faith.
Right.
He's trying to tell the guy, I am fully capable of doing any miracle. Have you not seen?
Right.
That's why you're here. It's not about me. It's about you, you know.
Right.
So Jesus is trying to teach us that there's a place, even with the disciples being with him all this time, how important it is to remove that unbelief and not allow that unbelief to be a part of what you're doing because it stifles your faith. You can have the faith to believe. They had the faith to pray, but there was unbelief. So it's really interesting how it kind of ties in like that and how we have to be aware. I think a lot of people think that you either believe or you don't believe.
Right.
And that's not the case. You can have the faith the Father had the faith to get the boy there. He had to have the hope.
He's reaching out, right?
He's reaching out. He's like, I've heard all these miracles. I believe that he could do this possibly for my son. Yet the possibly and the I think and that I hope, those are all indicators that you have some type of unbelief, right?
Right, right.
We have to pay attention to that. It's like when you say something and you're like, I absolutely believe, but, you know, if I need to, then I'll take the medicine, you know, and you're like,
But usually negates everything before it.
Right.
You know,
what I'm trying to get at is what's happening is we're taking the faith part of what we have, and then we're squashing it because we're adding in, well, you know, I mean, I believe in God, but if he wants me to go ahead and go with the surgery, and I'm not knocking anybody, I do believe God does use doctors.
Sure, absolutely.
They have a skill set and a talent God has downloaded and given them
I'm
a revelation.
I'm alive because of doctors.
For, you know, especially for those emergency situations or things when you don't know what's going on, but I think that it is a very important thing to learn that without full faith you are with unbelief, let's do it this other way, with unbelief you can't say to the mountain be moved. And God was saying, but if you can get to a place where you can fully believe that what I'm telling you, you would trust me. I mean, Jesus at this time is telling them this and he's glowing, you know.
Sure,
like,
right.
if you would believe, then you can speak to a mountain.
Right.
And all you have to do is have a mustard seed of faith that's untainted, basically. He's saying a mustard side seed of faith that doesn't have unbelief can move a mountain. That's how much unbelief can change. I know. When I was little, I used to have a little mustard seed.
Oh, yeah?
You know, like a little mustard seed necklace.
Sure, yeah, I've
seen
them.
And I don't know.
They are tiny.
Is it true that they're, like, when you plant them, they're, you know, just a tiny seed, but they grow to one of the biggest trees?
One of the largest,
okay,
yeah.
I didn't know if that
really
was something
big.
Like I...
Yeah, no, they do. They get really big.
So that's an interesting aspect of that.
Just, I'm still kind of hung up on all things are possible to him who believes. You know, mm-hmm. I just kind of want to go back there and just revisit that just for a second, because, you know, some things we've looked at and we've said, this isn't possible. Mm-hmm. You know, God, I can't see you doing this.
Right.
You know, or if this is too big, you know, and that's, in some ways, I feel like that's where the father landed in this situation. He had been through so much turmoil, his son being thrown in the fire, his son being thrown in the water,
right,
having to rescue him, having to heal him up, and then having to deal with him and battle all these things, you know, but all things are possible to those who believe. And that's where I feel like in his desperation, he had that doubt. Mm-hmm. That anything could ever change in his life, that could it ever get better? Could it actually be that my son could be healed and I wouldn't have to endure this anymore? But well, part of him said, I don't know. I don't know if I can see that.
Right.
You know?
He went to the disciples and was thinking they were going to help him, and they couldn't do it. So you can see in the natural circumstances of what was going on, and we know that that demon was really irritated, so he was probably really trying to hurt the kid, the little boy even more. So it's probably this just, what a stressful thing to not have control, and this demon is harming, like physically slapping and throwing your child around. You go to the disciples, like it's just a constant.
Yeah.
It's a reminder of not looking at the circumstances at times, as hard as that is, and how we're being reminded that Jesus, all things are possible because Jesus goes above all natural laws.
Yeah.
There is no natural law that can withhold his goodness and his miracles from your life.
Amen.
Right.
But it's like, you know, he's standing there in front of Jesus and he's like, if you can.
Right.
You know, and Jesus is like, if I can.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I love that part, because Jesus is like, I can and I'm willing. You know, it's like with the lepers. You know, I hear Jesus, if you're willing, you know, you can make me clean. Mm-hmm. Jesus looked at the leper and he says, I am willing.
And if.
I am.
If is another word that shows unbelief.
Right.
Because God, the if is saying, can you or can you not?
Yeah. Jesus is like, I think if it's saying, God, I know you can, but will you do it for me? Many times
you could
as
spin
well.
You could spin it that way too.
Yeah.
But if is if and buts and well and, you know, those words, be careful that you don't catch yourself, you know, using those things. I think we all need to be more aware of how we're accidentally unknowingly adding unbelief to a situation that God has actually promised you and said that he would do for you. And he sent a friend and they sent the scripture on the same day. And then another person 6 months later prophesies the same thing over you. And, you know, you've just gotten all these confirmations and you're wondering why maybe something hasn't shifted or happened. And a lot of times it's because we have unknowingly added in that unbelief. Yeah. And it's really, really important that you pay attention to that.
We have his word. And if we trust it, you know, it will accomplish what it's been said to do. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Sounds good. Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, everybody. Once again, thanks to all of our sponsors. We're back, and we just like to always give you a little heads up on who's helping make Turn the Light On a big part of your life. So thanks to all of you guys who do that for us. But Cher, we've been talking about this lunatic son.
That's what they called him. And this demon-possessed boy.
He's been dealing with all this stuff. But how do we sum this up?
We've done a whole series on faith and unbelief. So you guys, if you've been with us for any length of time, you go back and listen to that, because we get into a lot more details. But one of the things that I would like to go back and just talk about is this miracle is stressing the need for the disciples to maintain, it's what we can learn from this, to maintain this constant contact in faith through prayer and fasting with the one person who has the power that they need. Yeah. And it's Jesus. And perhaps Jesus wasn't there. And the disciples, maybe they were still learning. We don't know if they were all the time. We were trying to decide. Maybe this is the first time they've prayed by themselves.
Right, we're still, we're not sure.
Abilities. Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe perhaps they were trying to do it the best they could, but they were doing it in their own abilities, and that's why those things got. We always have to remember that the source is Jesus. There isn't anything that we can do when we pray or fast that isn't through Jesus. Everything goes through Jesus. It is Him. It is Him, not us, that does those things. So that's a good thing to remember.
Well, I think we always got to remember that we don't need to question God's ability, but, we can always pray for Him to help us in our faith, in our doubt, in our lack of ability. I think sometimes we think we have to have it all together, when I think God many times is just saying, it's okay. He knew the father had unbelief, but he's like, help me with my unbelief. And I think that's the heart of what God's really looking for.
Right.
And that's where this guy got the win, Cher. Mm-hmm. He said, yes, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Yes.
I need you, Jesus.
Right.
I need you.
Right.
And I think that's where we can all lean in and go.
He went back to the source. Eyes on Jesus.
That.
Right, all these crazy things were happening. Jesus shows up on the scene, and he takes care of everything and the only way that Jesus could do. And it was such a reminder, eyes on me, heart on me. We can do anything. All things are possible. When you say, I can't do it, there's a humility that you have that you need Jesus to do it, because you have to have the faith that he can do it. It's a trust and a faith in Jesus, not in your own abilities.
Yep. And he can do it.
He can. And we've seen him do it, and he continues to do it. So,
hey guys, we hope you enjoyed the program today. We'll see you tomorrow on Turn the Light On.
Bye, you guys.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.